So what led you back to the Civil War era and the John Brown raid in particular this time?
I lived for many years quite close to Harper's Ferry and was always intrigued by this picturesque town and the history that happened there. And when I finally got round to doing some research on John Brown's raid, I was startled to find that quite a bit of this dramatic and significant story remains largely untold. So I decided to write Midnight Rising.
Now, this was 1859 when this occurred, but it was a key event in the lead up to the Civil War, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this occurs 18 months before the Civil War, but it really lights a spark. I think after John Brown's raid and, of course, then the election of Abraham Lincoln, there's no turning back from the war. So it's one of the two or three catalysts, really, for the coming of the war.
Now, you're a big believer in what you call the archive of the feat. You spend a lot of time at these places, and you got to do that in a big way this time.
I did. Harper's Ferry is a particularly wonderful place to wander. It's one of the most picturesque towns on the East Coast. It really sits at the bottom of a river gorge, and it's wonderfully history-haunted. You can almost feel John Brown's presence, and many of the sites associated with his raid are still standing. So I could walk where John Brown and his men did, stand where they fought, and really soak up the atmosphere in a way that's often difficult to do. And I also did that in Kansas, where he fought several years before Harper's Ferry.
I pulled up a few modern-day pictures of Harper's Ferry. It looks like it's almost been frozen in time. You know, it's really looks much as the same as it did back then.
Yeah, Harper's Ferry is almost an eastern ghost town. It has about one-tenth the number of people it did in 1859. It never fully recovered from the raid and then the devastating impact of the Civil War. It's sort of a living museum, and the Park Service has done a wonderful job of preserving the buildings that remain.
You know, I think for many of us, the mention of John Brown's name brings up this image of this wild-eyed, you know, abolitionist with the long hair and the long beard. Mm-hmm. You learned a lot about him and how he came to feel so strongly about slavery.
Yeah, I think this is one of many misconceptions that people have about John Brown and the raid. We think of him, as you say, as this sort of wild-eyed fanatic, but actually for most of his life, he was a well-groomed conventional American on the make, a businessman who wore starched shirts and dark suits. He really emerges as an abolitionist in his mid-50s. So he's not quite the crazed zealot that people imagine. He was a family man and a businessman who was really radicalized by his times.
Now, he grew up, or he was born, I think, in Connecticut in the North, but slavery was prevalent at that time.
Right. He's born in 1800 in Connecticut, and at that time there were still slaves in the North, not large numbers. And in the course of his early life, slavery expands tremendously in the South with cotton and the steamboat and new technology. Cotton really becomes king. We tend to look back at the pre-Civil War South and think that slavery and the Old South were somehow doomed, but that really wasn't the case. Many people felt that slavery was on the march, and people like Brown were determined to oppose that and to overthrow the institution.
Now, the raid itself, did it take place about this time of year?
Yeah, it takes place right about this time in October 16th through 18th are the key days of the fighting, and then there's a sort of court and prison drama that extends for 6 weeks after the raid itself.
So we're right on the anniversary of it.
We are, 152 years.
Now, John Brown wasn't a so-called lone gunman, as many might think as well. He had this band of cohorts, including, I understand, some members of his own family.
Exactly. He has 21 men with him at his hideout in the Maryland Hills in the summer before this attack, and also his daughter and daughter-in-law are there. And these aren't suicidal zealots or cult followers. They're really a cross-section of northern society, farmers and factory workers, blacksmiths, someone educated at Oberlin, two Quakers. It's a really colorful and diverse group of people who are prepared to risk their lives for a cause they passionately believed in. In that sense, not hugely different from hundreds of thousands of Americans who served in the Civil War.
We also meet a lot of characters on the southern side of this event who would come to prominence during the Civil War, including Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, the cast on the southern side of this story is remarkable. Robert E. Lee and Jeb Stuart lead U.S. Marines in a counterattack against Brown at Harper's Ferry. Later, Stonewall Jackson and John Wilkes Booth appear on the scene. Jefferson Davis leads the charge in Congress to condemn the raid and use it as grounds for secession. This is almost a dress rehearsal for the conflict to come.
Well, this whole episode, did it get a lot of press attention?
The raid got tremendous press attention at the time, and one reason was this was an era where newspapers were booming, and the Telegraph had recently enabled correspondents to report in real time from the scene. So this was one of the first breaking news stories in America. And because it led to this extended court and prison drama, the nation was really riveted for weeks. And there were correspondents from all over the country coming to Harper's Ferry and a nearby town where Brown was in prison, sending breathless dispatches, sometimes several a day.
We're talking with Tony Horowitz, author of Midnight Rising, John Brown and the Raid That Sparked the Civil War. You draw some parallels in this book between this raid and the September 11th attacks.
Yeah, in terms of its impact on the nation, John Brown's raid had some similarities to 9/11. It really shocked the nation and drove it towards war. There were also operational similarities. Brown, interestingly, had the exact same number of men. They lead a surprise attack on a symbol of American power, the U.S. Armory at Harper's Ferry. And Brown himself is, of course, a religious fundamentalist. But I think, in other respects, the parallels don't hold. He was a homegrown American. And he was fighting for freedom, to free slaves, and to force America to be true to its founding principles of freedom and equality.
Did John Brown, in his mind, think he would really be able to pull this off?
That's a big question, and I talk about it in the book because it's not entirely clear what Brown intended. In theory, he was going to seize the town and its 100,000 guns, free and armed slaves, and begin a rolling war of liberation across the South. This was not a realistic plan with just 19 men attacking the town, and it never really goes anywhere. And I think Brown recognized that he might very well die in this struggle and be a martyr to the cause, which is ultimately what happened.
These forays of yours always result in a few surprises, you know, these I didn't know that moments. Anything in particular that stands out that gave you pause?
I think it's interesting that several of the raiders escape. they swim or boat across the river. Harper's Ferry is along the Shenandoah and Potomac and run off through the mountains and get away. A number of them later serve in the Civil War. So there's sort of a second act for a number of the raiders. And one of them, John Brown's son, Owen, ends up as a hermit on a mountain in California. So I kind of enjoyed tracing the story even beyond the Civil War.
Did you find some strong feelings to this day among the, you know, some of the people you talked to?
Tremendously. I mean, John Brown is perhaps the most divisive figure in our history. He raises very prickly questions about means and ends, whether violence is ever justified, when does the individual have a right to defy their government. And, you know, these are questions that are still with us, and people have very strong feelings about him, pro and con.
All right, the name of the book is Midnight Rising, John Brown and the Raid That Sparked the Civil War. It will be published next week. Tony Horowitz is the author. Tony, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.